The apostle is here in these last couple of chapters. He's challenging and rejoicing. He's thankful for the things that they responded to and the word that he receives from Brother Titus. There's a thing that they have promised to do, and he's encouraging them to pick that up and go on about it. He has laid before them faithfulness of the churches in Macedonia, and then sending Titus and some brethren back to them in advance of his coming to accomplish the work, the benevolence work that seems to be at hand. And all through this, and I make mention of it, it's just the case, and there's a contingent here within the church at Corinth. We see that at the beginning of the first epistle, a contingent there that is just doubtful of the apostles' ability to work and minister and be a leader amongst them. It's not to say that he is their he's not an overruler of the pastor or pastors that they would have, but he is an apostle called to this work. He does have purview. He does have responsibility. And in this chapter, he's going to speak about that again. And just beseeching is the word that's used here, to call near, to invite, to entreat, a desire, to pray unto, not as you and I pray unto the Lord, but just to compel to, you know, receive this. This is the Lord's work. And he makes mention of that we'll see here in a few verses. It's not his own design. It's the Lord and the Lord's work and the Lord's word and way that we need to follow. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you. I beseech you by the meekness, the power under control, and gentleness, the most tender working of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. You know, in this chapter, come to maybe consider and understand something about the Apostle Paul. He's going to, before this chapter ends out, he's going to tell about some of the things that he endured. If my memory serves me correctly, he'll talk about that and how some of the things that he endured, unless I'm getting it mixed up with the previous epistle. The apostle was left for dead. He's been whipped, beat, been roughed up by those that would assail him. You know, there's something that's brought out yet more and more plain in this chapter. I think it adds to the things that we've heard. He talked about how it was in the beginning that they would have plucked out their own eyes to help him in his vision problems, evidently. He said, remember those things. You know, it could well be that the Apostle Paul, it could well be that he may have suffered brain damage. Brain damage that would have affected his speech. You know, we understand and know of those that have had strokes and how it left them paralyzed or somewhat withered and restrained. And the man by this point, he's been through, I mean, if you will, if you'll pardon the expression, he's been through the ringer. I mean, for the sake of the Lord, he's been through it. And he's been through it from the time that he was saved and being chased. Can you imagine being chased and pursued by those that want to kill you? It's been with him like that for years and for maybe for even decades. The strain, just the physical strain of that. You know, we all understand maybe the strain of not being preferred by somebody, to not be liked by somebody, even as a child, or things that we dealt with our neighborhood children or whatever, and you know, maybe not the cool kid, but you're the uncool kid, stuff like that. Just that not being preferred or not being liked. We suffer internally because of those kind of things. Well, this man was despised so that there were those that wanted him dead. And to carry, I don't have a clue to what it would be like to carry around that somebody wants to kill you, that they would like to see you dead. But anyway, all the physical abuse and such as that, he says, in presence I'm base among you. He had some problems. Maybe he had a a lisp, but maybe he stammered when he spoke. Maybe he had a hard time at times recalling things, or maybe he just wasn't much of an orator. Not to the diminishing of his calling or anything, but when they looked on him, a contingent there in the church would look on him, they were offended by his physical presence. It bugged them. We'll see more about that in the chapter. But being absent and bold toward you, and we've seen that. He said, our hearts enlarged, we desire good things for you. You know, be reconciled to the Lord, all those things that he's talked about. Verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He said, some are there that think that I'm just doing what I want to do, according to the flesh, walking according to the flesh. He said, I want you to hear before I get there. I'm bold while I'm writing. I am from your memory and base when I'm there amongst you. But beware when in your presence when I come and these issues and this contingent, this group that is against the things that are sound and of the Lord and beneficial and right before the Lord in the church. He said, I'll be bold then when I get there. And I would like you to receive the word of God, to receive what is right before I get there. For you that think that I'm walking according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, it's a difference. We live in our bodies. We live in our bodies. We're here in this flesh right now. Our soul and the Spirit of God is found right here all together in this body. You can't be anywhere else but where you are right now. Okay? We do have, and even the apostle speaks about that, about being there in spirit. He's talking about his thinking about them, praying for them, wondering what's going on there. We all know about that. Parents with children have that. As children begin to come into their own and go on out, and they maybe go out and work, they take trips, they move away. We think about our children. We wonder what's going on with them, but we can't physically be there and here. And so he says, some think that I'm walking according to what the flesh desires. Well, I'm in this body, but he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm not looking just to make a strife, so we have a strife at hand. He said, I'm not battling against you, the person. I want the things that are right and appropriate before the Lord. This is not Paul's idea. This is the Lord's idea. As I've mentioned to you in the past, we know it's of the Lord because this very writing has become Scripture. I mean, it is the Scripture inspired by the Lord and the brother left here for us. Sub-thought, verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not warring in the flesh. I'm not fighting you as a foe physically. Now listen to what he gets to here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. He's the equipper for such, isn't he? To the pulling down of strongholds, the spiritual armor of God that we have, given by the Lord, that you and I are commanded to put on. It's there. But we are to put those things on. It's not an automatic thing to be adorned and fitted with the armor of God. We are told there in Ephesians to put those things on. We've got to think about it. We've got to pursue it. We've got to find out what it is. We need understanding and wisdom about it. In that, we find that it tells us about the weapons of our warfare in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures, the sword of the Lord, is a great part of that, isn't it? The sword of the Lord, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, a defensive weapon and the offensive weapon that we have. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Entire message or even series of messages could be preached about strongholds. Strongholds, we're going to see Wednesday, Lord willing, we're going to see about strongholds within. Some of the greatest strongholds that we have to deal with, strongholds within. Strongholds of the way that we think that it ought to be, but don't line up with what the Lord says. Strongholds in the world. Strongholds in our families. And he says, this is not a physical warfare. We walk in the flesh, but I'm not fighting a physical warfare, but yet a spiritual, equipped by God with these weapons, this armor that he mentions to another church, to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he comes back, casting down imaginations. He says, I think that he gets right down to the heart of it, to the genesis of it, to the beginning of it. Where is the beginning of these strongholds? It starts with our thinking, doesn't it? Every sin that we commit starts with our thinking, typically. Lusting, desiring inside. We either want something we don't have, or we don't want something we've been given. That pretty much summarizes it, doesn't it? Want something we don't want. We're just, the grass is greener somewhere else other than where we're standing. And we do well to be content where we're standing. Because that's where the Lord has brought us so far. Amen? And so, strongholds within, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Very much like the message, or in line with the message last Sunday about the gods of the flesh, the things that we have been saved from. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. There is that working of the world and the depravity of man, the way of man. But there are those things that are within us too. This contingent denying the authority of the apostle, they have that. They've got some imaginations that are not according to what the Lord has given and the Lord's design. He said those things, those imaginations, that thinking, that seed of that disobedience and rebellion needs to be pulled down by the word and the way of the Lord. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself. Right? We saw there in Galatians, it never was the design that anything of man should be the leader. And we've got a place. We've got a realm that the Lord has given us in having dominion over the earth and the family and all those kind of things. But it never was, by nature, it never was so that the will and the way of man would ever rise above what God says. Never was the thought of God ever. Against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. God says it's to be this way. And maybe we would say, no, I want it this way. I think this way is better. That's exalting a thinking in a way above that of God. He says, the weapons of warfare given to us by the Lord, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every way, every bit of thinking to be in to obedience to Christ. Is my that part of my conversation obedient to the Lord Jesus? Is that aspect of my thinking obedient to the Lord Jesus? Is this aspect of my thinking obedient to the Lord Jesus? You know, this is really the greatest challenge. And it is the thing that is, how to describe that? It is the thing that's needed to mature in the Lord, as to have our inside obedient to Christ. We can make the outside obedient, it needs to be. But just in those things, just us and the Lord, that us that we, each individual and the Lord knows about, those things being obedient. And I tell you what, that's the realm of the height of maturity in the Lord. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Listen to that. He's mentioned about that before, about how is disobedience revenged? Well, it's revenged. It's dealt with, the revenge of the Lord and disobedience is by repentance and obedience. Turning from disobedience and to obedience to the Lord. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When we repent and we turn to that which is right and we obey in it, then disobedience is put behind us. We're forgiven by the Lord as His children. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's what John tells us. We may have to suffer from some of our disobedience. We may have some things to reap. But from standpoint of peace with the Lord, we are restored. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Talking about his base condition. I think that's where he is. He said, do you look on the things? And he's speaking to this contingent, this group in the church there at Corinth that has trouble with him. Do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, speaking to them, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. You think, you know the Lord? You belong to the Lord? I do too. I am too. I'm the Lord's too. It's not that they have grown beyond and have excelled to where the apostle is nothing to them. He said, don't forget how the Lord did it. I was sent with the message to you. And not that he's greater, not that he's less, but it was the design of the Lord. And so now have you now, speaking to this group that denies his authority and his responsibility, the directive of the Lord to him to help them, do you now move on without me? And not his person, but the Lord, the work of the Lord within him. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, do you say that you're Christ? Well, they would say yes. Well, let himself think this again, that as you are Christ, even so are we Christ. I'm Christ too. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, so that I could go to the authority point there, as an apostle, I think that's what he's speaking about, that calling of the Lord upon him, which the Lord hath given us. He loses the plural, but he's speaking about himself. He's trying to be modest is really not the word, but he doesn't want to draw attention to himself, but he's got to deal with the issue. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. He said, I've been called to be an apostle. I've been called to be an apostle to help you, not grind you. Just like pastors are called to be a help to the people that they pastor, not to grind them down. Lord, forgive me when I would misuse the authority in that calling. When to be full of self rather than full of the calling of the Lord. He said, I could talk to you about my authority. He said, that's not the point. I'm here not to destroy you, but to build you up. To direct you into the right good thing. He said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not backing away from that calling, responsibility, authority. Verse number 9, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you or cause you to fear by letters. I'm not looking to torture you and make you afraid. But I want you to see the light. I want you to see the truth. I want you to turn to the Lord and the right good thing. Regarding such, he says, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. There's, you know, it could be by all that he's been through that he could have suffered some damage, some paralysis from what, left for dead. He very well could have died. And the Lord brought him back to life for the purpose that he had in him. You know, we just... What suffering he went through for the sake of the Lord, for the elect's sake. The calling of the Lord was indeed great upon him. And here it's brought out again. It said, oh my, when he writes, wow, he's just got it down and the power is there. But then when he comes through the door, it just doesn't reconcile in their minds and in their hearts that this is the man. And they kind of, in his weakness and this contemptible speech and that they, the natural, the, it's kind of like, personality and presence. It's in our nature that we want, how to describe this? It's in our nature to want to submit and to be connected with that that has standing and grandeur and greatness. And so, when the apostle comes through the doorway, he's nobody that they would want to introduce to any of their friends. He's just too weak. He's physically been beat up. The thing is, he's the instrument used of the Lord to bring the gospel to them and to minister them time and again. This contingent here is caught up on the way things look rather than the Word and the Spirit and the work of the Lord in their midst. He said, you're the Lord's? Well, I'm the Lord's too. I've been used up for the Lord, even for your sakes. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this. He said, you think on this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. He said, I would like for you to get it straightened up and get it adjusted before I show up, because I'm going to be the same way that I wrote when I'm getting your presence if you haven't got it corrected. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, hallmark passage. It's got much application to it, and there's a principle at hand. But relative to the context, he said, don't get caught up in this way of men in the world, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. He says, outward appearance is not it. It doesn't take good looks to be the child of the Lord or to serve the Lord. You can be ugly too. He said, that is the thinking and the way of man is not the way that it is. But it's the power and the Word and the work and of the Spirit. But we will not boast, verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure. Here he's going in to a portion here of the scripture and his writing to them, talking about his realm, his sphere of work, his sphere of calling. And he's reiterating to them, telling them again about it. But we will not boast of things without our measure. I'm not going to go outside the usual bounds of what I've been given. That's another way to look at that, without our measure. It's talking about outside. I'm not delving with you in a realm that doesn't belong to my responsibility. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. These words, this last two mention of measure, to the measure and a measure there in verse number 13, once in the middle of the verse and there at the end, is talking about a limited portion or degree. He said, I've got my responsibility. Other men's responsibility and the calling of the Lord upon them is not mine. But you are. You are my responsibility. I have a responsibility. You know, and see, that's that. In our day, there are no apostles, are there? Some claim that there are apostles. If there were apostles, they would have responsibility over churches. But the apostles that the Lord gave in the beginning were for that time and for the beginning of this church age. And when they died, there are no more. There are a pastor or pastors in churches, under shepherds, to lead. They are next in that line, but pastors are not apostles. I have no responsibility what goes on at Faith Baptist Church over in Clarksville or Sunnyview or New Testament or Julian, none whatsoever. Now, we've heard in time of brethren maybe thinking that they would, not in those particular churches necessarily, but the thing is, it's not. A man's got responsibility right where he's at. But the apostle says, I'm not going to deal with things outside of the measure that I've been given, but within the measure, portion, the rule in which I have been given. A measure to reach even unto you. Because remember, he was used of the Lord to bring the gospel to them first. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. And there it is in italics, our measure. In verse 14, the translators referring to that in verse number 13 to help us with the thought. He says, I'm not getting outside in talking with you and writing to you and ministering to you by coming to you and sending brethren to you and them coming back to me with report and then sending these brethren to get this benevolence going to what you to make the commitment that you made, get it effected and get it happening like you committed to do it. I'm not outside of my bounds. I'm within my bounds. Because you are my responsibility. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. And so he says, I was there at the beginning. And I have responsibility for you and among you until I die. Not boasting of things without our measure. He said, outside of the measure, the usual boundary, the boundary of what the Lord has given me, I'm not dealing or boasting or telling about those things outside. Those belong to another man. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope that when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. That you'll hear. That you'll respond to the minister given to you, the apostle given to you. And you'll hear the word of the Lord, and you'll change those things that are lacking and those things that need to be adjusted, those things that need to be repented of, and follow what is right. Because listen, it just doesn't end with you. Olmsted Baptist Church, it just doesn't end with us. And in recent times, last couple of years, you know, I've encouraged the church to consider about the future that is beyond us. The church is not just here to serve us. And we have enjoyment from the blessings of the Lord in the church. But we need to have a mind for the future of the church beyond us, now and in days to come beyond the time of our lives. We need to be thinking about that. We need to be pursuing that. We need to be seeking the Lord's face in that. We need to have a mind for that, because the Lord is always interested in the future, isn't He? We see that in the Scriptures. It's very plain. And we have much enjoyment and much blessing for ourselves in the church. But we need to give consideration about the future too. That we would do our part beyond. Because He's telling them, it's not, the end is not the church at Corinth. It's not. It goes beyond you. Listen to what He says. Verse 15 again. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. I'm not dealing in something that's not part of my labor. My labor has been among you. But having hope that when your faith is increased and you receive and believe these things and put them in practice, that we shall be enlarged. I'll be encouraged. I'll be rejoicing in your obedience and the following of the Lord, enlarged by you according to our rule, my responsibility with you abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. That it'll go on. That you will be used of the Lord to help me to go beyond. He's saying that I was a missionary unto you, and that I might be your missionary unto others. And it go beyond. It go beyond what has been done even with you, and not boast in another man's line of things. These words, line of things, is the same as the word rule in the Greek. The responsibility, the sphere of responsibility, purview. Again, Sunview Baptist Church is not in any of our purview. It's not none of our responsibility. We love them. We pray for them. But we have no input, no say into what they are to do before the Lord. Ours is here. And he says, and he's saying the same thing, and he's ministering unto them. He says to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. It's not just to end at you, but understand, have in your heart, it's to go on. Right? The Great Commission tells us it's to go on, isn't it? Beyond us. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Not another man's rule that we finish up, but to go on, as he says, what is it in the epistle to the church at Rome? To go where Christ is not named. Brother Kraft has that as his theme and motto. To go on and find sinners without Christ that the Lord will work in and save, that have never been touched by the gospel. For the Lord's sake. Not as a badge for the apostle or the missionary, but to spread the gospel abroad. Verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to glory? Don't glory in yourself. Don't glory in physical appearance. Don't glory in accomplishment in self, but glory in the Lord. Glory in the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord, the greatness and wonderful blessing, the graciousness of the Lord to use the likes of us for the furtherance of His kingdom and putting us in His kingdom. Bringing us from darkness into His marvelous light. Glory in the Lord and not in yourself. But praise be unto the Lord for His pleasure to use us. Verse 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. See verse 12, For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not about personality. It's not about oratory. And granted, a preacher, a minister, a pastor needs to be able to convey a message, indeed. But it's not about the way that the world looks on things. It's not about the commendation that we give to one another. Because what's going to matter is the Lord's judgment, what the Lord says. We are to be an encouragement to one another, and a provoker to love and good works. But what's going to matter is not what we think in the way that the world operates. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And I think in that he's declaring, I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do to you and toward you. And you need to hear and respond to the Lord's working in that. Now, what do we have today? Well, we don't have apostles, but we've got the Word of God, don't we? We've got the Scripture. And from that is the way that we operate. I'm not going to get, as your pastor, I'm not going to get a divine revelation about what it is that we should do or how we should go that's going to be apart from the Word of God. It's going to be always qualified and there alongside and involved with what the Word of God says. That's what we have. And you know what that is typically? The writings of the apostles given to us by inspiration of God. And, of course, the Old Testament scriptures, too. And then in the next chapter, Lord willing, next time we'll get into this chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. And so he's going to talk to them about their espousal. We being Baptists, we believe in a Baptist bride, don't we? There is a bride of Christ, and that institution of the Lord's church, it seems very clear that in the Lord's church is that bride of the Lord. And some of this language that the apostle uses in this next chapter gives us understanding about that. And so may the Lord help us with it.